into class three of spiritual disciplines, how God grows his people. I'm very excited that we are halfway through. This is the third class of four, but because where we started, this is effectively halfway through. So it's time for that half-time pep talk. Because once you've been going on something for a while, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose my initial burst of enthusiasm. Because I realize this is actually quite hard work. And that's why it's called spiritual disciplines, not spiritual easy things to do. They do take some effort. So it's team talk time. So let's remind ourselves of why we're doing what we're doing. We are practicing these spiritual disciplines to open the door to let God do his work in us. God's working in us and, well, on us all the time, but whether God works in us depends largely whether we will cooperate with him. And practicing spiritual disciplines puts us in a position of humility and submission and trust and faith with God, because we're doing these things for him and we're doing them outside of our comfort zone. So we're operating on faith, and whenever we live by faith, it gives God greater opportunities to help us to mature. So we're opening the door to him, ultimately, so that we become more like Jesus. It's not just for doing these things for their own sake. It's so that we become more Christ-like. That's the point. And in doing so, we have a deeper communion with God, a deeper and stronger connection. I would pray that we sense not just in the middle of a fasting session, or when we've been silent for 10 minutes and are contemplating God, but through the day, as we're commuting, as we're working, as we're with our friends, when we're doing whatever we're doing, that we're conscious, more conscious of that presence of God in us. And ultimately, I believe that when this develops in us, our faith becomes more attractive to the people around us. Because the people know, they can sense, even if they couldn't put it into words, people can sense Christians who are really connected with God. They can tell the difference between a churchgoer and someone who has that connection. And I believe that practicing the spiritual disciplines is one of the greatest tools for evangelism that God has. And you might not think about it that way, because we're thinking about we're hungry, or we're having a hard time staying silent, or being frugal, or fellowshipping a bit more than we're comfortable with. And we're feeling that. What we're not noticing is God working in us and then making us somehow more attractive to the world. This is about evangelism as well as it's about everything else. It's very exciting and very important. Now, before we get into what I want to talk about in detail tonight, and we're going to have quite a lot of sharing tonight, so get ready for your chance to shine with your sharing. I've got a question, really, which is, where is Jesus in the car of your life? Is he in the boot? We put lots of things in our boot. I don't know whether you've got a nice tidy boot in your car or whether it's rather a bit of a mess. I've had the Danis dogs in my boot recently. And they were very well behaved. And we drove all the way from Bracknell back to my house without me even realizing they were there. Probably apart from one thing, I could have got home, parked my car and gone into my house and forgotten that they were in the boot. Apart from one thing, they really smell. I drove home down the M4 and up the M25 with the window open 10 o'clock at night. And I love those dogs. I think they're awesome. And there's nothing wrong with those dogs. It's just that's the way dogs are. They smell. But they're meant to be in the boot. They're not meant to be in the driving seat, and they're not meant to be in the passenger seat. You do sometimes see that when people driving with their dogs. But I wonder sometimes whether Jesus is in the boot. Now, we would never admit to that, so we keep him in the boot, and we drive up to church in the Bracknell car park, and we get out, and they say, Jim, we open the boot and say, Jesus, get out, because I know you're my friend, really, and I want everybody to know you're my friend, so come with me to church. So we let him out of the boot for Sunday church or for Friday night, and then he comes and sits with us, and it's all cool, you know. But when we leave, he goes back in the boot, because we're not as comfortable having him around. We're not as comfortable other people noticing that we've got Jesus with us. And we're not as comfortable letting him direct our route and our path. Now, you can only take this illustration so far and make it biblical. I don't think Jesus ever gets into the driving seat, because it's our life. And I think the illustrations that talk about that aren't quite accurate, really, because it is us driving the car of our life. But does he at least get into the front seat and allow and tell you the directions, and do you let him direct you? It can be rather uncomfortable when he wants to turn right down the road of suffering. That's the name of the road, Suffering Road, and we don't want to go that way. Or he wants us to turn left down this road which is called forgiveness, and we don't want to. Or we've got a right fork in the road ahead, and it's the way to ultimate patience, but we don't feel like being that patient. Or the left fork, which is the left fork of generosity and sacrifice for the benefit of other people, and we don't feel like being that generous. Spiritual disciplines can strengthen our resolve so that when we know what Jesus would have us do, we let him direct us. Ultimately, it's for our own benefit as well as for other people. But the spiritual disciplines can get us into the right spiritual state so that we go the right way instead of the wrong way. I love this scripture. It means a lot to me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but let's read it first. Isaiah 30. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, "Away with you." Some pretty graphic language in that passage. You know, the people of God are in idolatry and they're being warned by the prophet, but they're being told by God there's a better way, there's a better path. Now, I particularly love this scripture because when I was seeking God, before I was a disciple, I was going to church and I was praying and I was reading my Bible and I was doing daily Bible studies. And in my daily Bible studies, I came across this scripture and I read this scripture. At the time I was, I just graduated from university, I was engaged to Penny and we were planning to get married, and I was really wanting to have a real relationship with God, not just to be a churchgoer. I read the scripture and I thought how wonderful it would be if God would give me teachers to show me the way. The teachers will be hidden no more, with your own eyes you will see them, you'll be guided whether to turn to the right or to the left. And I prayed and I said, "God, please provide me with teachers." I prayed, I got down actually on my knees by my bed and prayed, "God, please make this scripture real in my life." I prayed that prayer. And I told Penny about it, and she and I talked about it and we prayed about it. And that was just a month or so before I got a job in London and met the church in London and found Chris McGrath and Doug Arthur and others who taught me the Bible. And when they said, "Would you like us to teach you the Bible?" I thought of this verse. I thought, teachers, I prayed for teachers. I have to say yes. And I was so grateful, even though it was difficult because, you know, the teaching about sin and repentance and discipleship is challenging. But I was so grateful that God had answered this prayer. And I think we all relate to that because we've all been grateful for the people who guided us to become a Christian. But are we still grateful for the ways that God guides us into difficult situations where perhaps we need to make difficult decisions to throw away things, to get rid of the things that are idolatrous in our own lives? Spiritual disciplines have the potential to help us to hold on to the right way of living. It's that important. It's not a small thing. So, Isaiah, powerful passage. Now we're going to do a little bit of sharing. What I'd like us to do for the next few minutes is hear from one another about how the spiritual disciplines are helping us. And I'd like you to just share whatever's on your heart. And we'll do this as a whole big group so we can hear from one another. We'll do it together. So here's the guidelines for sharing. No boasting. Like, I've been fasting like crazy. You wouldn't believe it. No boasting. Be as open as you feel is appropriate. Please, you know, share about yourself. And be reasonably brief so that we can hear from a number of people. But I say no boasting, but I also want to say no false modesty, so that none of us, we're all sitting there like, oh, if I stand up, I'll be boasting. We all understand this is our challenge, not to boast, but also no false modesty. And just to get up and say, look, this is my spiritual discipline that I've been practicing, and this is what I think God has taught to me. It's about what God has shown you and taught you. It's not about what you've been doing. Okay? So could we do that? Who would like to share? Who can we have share first? What has God been teaching you? What have you been learning by the particular spiritual discipline that you have been practicing over the last week or two or so? And we have a few people share. Angela, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'm doing confession, and I thought that would be a really positive thing. But I'm actually not sure that it's particularly helping me, because I'm trying to be more honest before I get to the stage of having to confess things. So it's making me a lot more aware of what people say and whether I'm upset about it or and I think it's making me look at myself more rather than look to God more. So I'm not sure that it's really good for me to be doing, because normally I'm much more easygoing and I just brush things away and don't think too much about them if someone's upset me and that sort of thing. But Shuri and I were discussing it, and she's saying, well, maybe I'm not doing it properly. But on the positive side, Albert's doing fasting of things that separate him from God. And I thought, well, that's a really good one. So I've been doing that one as well, and that's much more helpful to me. So I obviously didn't choose a very good one for myself, whereas his one, I think, is more positive for me and is helping me more.
Well, appreciate you sharing both situations. That's fantastic. And it may be that, you know, the confession one might help you a month from now or a year from now. Maybe a different situation in life. So, super. Thank you very much. That's excellent. Well, very encouraging. Okay, who else would like to share? Somebody. I mean, I can pick on people if you want, but
Well, at first I didn't really understand it. For the first week I kept reading the front about silence, thinking I had to be silent somewhere, as well as I didn't really understand what I was talking about until I spoke to Chris about it. He was very helpful. And since then I have decided on frugality, then I changed my mind and went for silence because I'm not sure how to go about it. But I have been praying for a long time for God to encourage me to put him first in the mornings. I normally get up, play on my Kindle with games, you know, word games and things like that, and thinking I should be reading my Bible, and I haven't done it. But this last week God's encouraged me, first thing in the morning, before I do anything else, go straight to my Bible. And I've got a little bit that I write notes down in, so it has helped me a great deal just this last few days. But that's all.
It can take a while to grasp something that's new. It just takes some time. That's okay. Thank you very much. Okay, who would like to follow up? Yes. Go ahead, Julie.
Which was quite funny, because the day we started the class, I was actually trying to fast that day. So it was quite appropriate, actually. And what I found really helpful is what you wrote in here about feasting on God. You're fasting, but feasting on God. And that really helped me, because before, I think fasting was, you're praying in fasting for something, someone to be healed or a new job, things like that. But to actually see that I can really feast on God,
feasting is feasting. Yeah, fasting and feasting. Yes. Good. Thank you very much. Super. Excellent. Who'd like to follow that? We'll have at least a couple more. Mohan, please.
Yeah, I chose silence, and I'm finding it a bit of a struggle, really, because my mind starts wandering. And but I do find that I'm able to listen to God a lot more just during the day and things that he's teaching me and so on. But I think I just need to persevere with it more, with being silent, because I think, you know, the mind is so active and it's so easily wanders off in so many different directions. To actually keep it silent, it's something I need to persevere with.
I heard recently, I think they say that the average human mind has about 70,000 thoughts a day. I don't know how they counted them, but but when I heard that, and I started paying attention recently to my own thinking of it, actually that sounds about right. There's just so much. And it's interesting that silence and many of these disciplines reveal to us what's really going on, that we are covering up with other things the rest of the time, but we're not really in touch with what's going on. Mm-hmm. Can be helpful. Good. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, who else? Yes. Yeah. Silence.
Yeah, it's not even the silence that's hard, it's the discipline bit that's hard.
Okay.
both of them. I think I started off really well, and then I didn't get up in time, and I couldn't get anything to be quiet enough. Even tried putting earplugs in, then it started itching my ears. And but I think, like with Mohan, your brain just... Even when you pray, you're praying out loud. So I had to keep on stopping myself from praying, and the only thing I could think of was a couple of scriptures that I'd memorised. But even then, I was thinking it. Do you know what I mean? And then I started thinking, well, you're still thinking something. And yeah. So I would like to carry on with it, even if it was just 5 minutes in the morning, each morning, because I just think, for me, I'm not naturally a disciplined person, so...
Discipline in itself is helpful. Super. Thank you very much. Okay, I think we'll do one more. We'll do one more. We've got time, and then I've got a couple more things to share. So, yes.
I chose silence as well. And what I discovered is that God is teaching me more and more on how to reach out to people more. Hmm. Because the first week I began, I noticed that I meet two people on the way to work almost every day, and I say hello, hello, you know. And the first thought that came to me was, what about reaching out to these people, you know, you meet them every day, why don't you reach out to them and, you know, plan to study the Bible with them? Should I say, unfortunately, when I now plan to reach out to them, it now became a week in which I needed to start going to work much earlier because of the Waterloo. But despite that, I started to reach out to people. And the more I do that and the more I reflect on Matthew 28, I'm just getting the boldness more and more to reach out to people. I met somebody yesterday at Basingstoke. You know, I met, even there was a new medical consultant at my workplace. You know, I reached out to him. Mm-hmm. There's a chap, my work colleague, we studied the Bible today. And we talked about gay, you know, we talked about that, you know. It was more like saying, oh, scientists are saying there's this gene they discovered about gay. And the discussion went on. At the end of the day anyway, I'll just cut, you know, summarize. But he was able to be convinced that whoever is gay or not, it all depends on the person and God. You know, that's what ended up. The bottom line is that the more I'm silent and I reflect, I tend to think about what can I do better? What can I improve the day? How can I go better? And it's really pushing me. It's making me to right now sacrifice more to pray in the evening. Because in the morning, it's more like dashing off to work, you know. So the silence is really helping. It's more like reflecting and trying to improve, you know, more and more. I think it's very good for me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. These spiritual disciplines have knock-on effects that we might not expect at the time, but they can be tremendously helpful in our walk with God, but also our impact in the world. Let's just conclude with a few thoughts and as we wrap up here. Just a word on the difference between the engagement and the abstinence disciplines, the difference between the two. So some of us are doing silence, which is an abstinence one, or fellowship is an engagement one. They are both useful. I would say if you're going to practice these spiritual disciplines, try and balance them and have some that are the engagement type and some that are the abstinence type. Don't just do abstinence all the time. You're going to lack something there. And don't do the engagement stuff all the time, or you're going to lose something there. It's a bit like breathing in and breathing out. You need both of those, in my experience. The abstinence spiritual discipline is particularly focused. They help by focusing our faith, because they take things away, like noise and food. They help us to see God, and they help us to see what's in the way of us connecting with Him and serving Him. As we take things away, it's just us and God. So they're particularly helpful for that. The engagement disciplines help the application of our faith. So I think in some ways the abstinence ones help grow our faith, connect us with God. The engagement ones make sure that we practice our faith. They prevent us becoming unselfish, becoming selfish and becoming purely inward. They turn us outward, which we need. I find that I'm doing the fellowship, spiritual discipline, and I find that it's too easy for me to just get into myself and into my own head, into my own thoughts and my own world, and not notice the rest of the world going on around me. I find the fellowship spiritual discipline challenging because I find people very tiring. I do like people, at least some people, but there are times when you're with people and you know you're with people because you love Jesus. And you know, that's just the way that is. But it can be very tiring. And so I found this challenging to get to engage and meet more and more people. But it's funny what's been happening. The first week was relatively easy. A couple of people came over. One person initiated to come over and spend time together. I worked out a number of times to hang out with people extra to normal. This week I realized it was harder. And I'm past that first sort of flush of excitement about something different. And I've had to really discipline myself to make sure it happened. And I was with one of the members of the Watford Church the other day, and I was thinking, it would be a good thing for me to say, would you like to have lunch this week? Because he works near me, and I don't really have a reason not to have lunch with him. But I'd never asked him before, and I thought, it'd be good to do that. So I made myself say to Tunde, I said, Tunde, would you like to have lunch this week? He said, oh, I'd love to. I said, what day? He said, oh, Thursday's a good day. So I went, he works in Rickmansworth, I live nearby. I drove down there, I met him, and then I thought, okay, this is great. I'm looking forward to a good chat. We went and bought a bit of lunch, we sat at a coffee table, and I thought, I'll have a nice chat now. And the person sitting on the table next to us, and these tables are really close in this coffee shop area, he said, oh, hi, how are you? So he wanted a fellowship. Some stranger. I hadn't set up time for him. I'd set up fellowship time with Tunde. Who's this interloper? Anyway, he wanted a fellowship. And honestly, I wasn't very friendly to start with. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. And nice to see you. What do you do? Yeah, okay. What do you do? Oh, I'm a church minister. So, yes, I better be friendly. And anyway, we're sitting there for 45 minutes. And instead of Tunde and I having fellowship, we had fellowship with this guy. 45 minutes, and we started off talking about damp proofing because that's what his job is. But then it's funny how it turned around to spiritual things, and then it became about church, and then it became about Jesus, and it became about the Bible, and we ended up sharing our faith for 45 minutes together. And it wasn't the plan. Right. But if I hadn't decided to make fellowship my spiritual discipline and made myself set that time up with Tunde, we would never have had a chance together to share our faith with this guy. Yeah. See, it's God knows the times and places. Yeah. He knows how to use these disciplines. We may not feel like we're getting very far. You might feel stuck. You might feel it's a bit all strange to you. You might feel like I'm trying, but I'm not getting much benefit from it. I want to encourage you to persevere. this is awesome. These tools that God gives us are incredible for growing in our faith and for letting Him work in our lives. When we're not so in control, it gives Him the opportunity to do what He does with His power. And maybe He's got someone like that for you to meet this week or do something like this. I like the scripture of 2 Peter chapter 1. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And what this tells us is it's God's plan for Christians to grow, adding to our faith, adding to the things we already have. God's plan, the natural state of a Christian is to grow. All we've got to do is use the tools that God has given us. So, it's like God gave you His credit card, His Visa card. And that's really what it's like. He's given us the Spirit and He's given us these tools. Are we going to use them? If I gave you my debit card, I must have it in somewhere. So, if I... I think I left it in the car. Not a good thing. Okay, if I gave you my debit card and I gave you the PIN number, which I won't tell you right now, but if I gave you that and I said, look, I've got unlimited funds in my account, go and use it. I mean, just go for it. I mean, where's the nearest cash machine? Let's go there now. We'll take Johnson's instead. Okay, so we'll take, what's the PIN number? No, don't tell me. So, you know, he's had a massive inheritance. He's won the lottery. And you know it's free and it's willing. I mean, it's not like you're stealing anything. He's saying, go for it. Take as much as you want. I mean, what kind of fool would you be? Just stick it in your back pocket, go home, think about it next week, you know, a month goes by. And someone says, hey, how did you go getting all that money from Johnson? You're like, oh, I haven't got around to it yet. What's wrong? Give the card to me. I'll use it. And can you imagine? God has given us these ways to grow. He's giving us, just to go back to that, He's given us the opportunity to become greater in goodness, have more knowledge, more self-control, more perseverance, more godliness, more mutual affection, more love. You can have that in increasing measure. All you've got to do is tap into it. Amen. And the spiritual disciplines are critical to that because they put us in a place of faith and a dependence upon God so that He can indeed fill us up with what we need. As the saying goes, God provides food for every bird, but He doesn't throw it into the nest. You've got what you need. You just need to be sure to go and access it. So, it's going to be worth it. Let's run the race. Beat our body. Yeah, we don't run aimlessly. Let's be disciplined. It is discipline. There's a couple of people have mentioned. It is hard. We go into strict training as Christians. But it's worth it. So that after we preach to others, we will not ourselves be disqualified for the prize. So my question to you at the conclusion here is to ask you, what will you do the same this week as last week? And what will you do differently? And now that you've heard what we've talked about tonight, and now that you've had a week or two of practicing a spiritual discipline, what will you do the same? What will you carry on doing? And what will you adjust? What will you do a bit differently to make sure that you get the most benefit possible out of the spiritual discipline that you have chosen to practice? Let's pray together. And Father, we lift our hearts collectively to You now, asking You to hear these prayers. And I pray for us all, but Father, we all pray together and we have our own requests for You. And You know them all. And we trust You, Father, that You not only know our needs, but You're interested and You care. And we thank You that we have Jesus ready to intercede for us. And we thank You that we have the Holy Spirit who prays for us when we don't know what to pray. And Father, we ask You now to please give us a few things. Please give us the strength to persevere with spiritual disciplines. Whether we've been delighted or confused or found it difficult, whether we've been consistent or fallen off the wagon a few times, Father, we pray You'll give us the strength now give us the strength now to practice these spiritual disciplines this next week. Help us to be wise how we do it, and help us to trust you for the fruit that will come from it. So please, Father, give us the strength. And secondly, Father, please help us to have a vision for what you're going to do in us. Help us not do these things out of a blind, rote repetition of something we feel we ought to do. But Father, we pray, help us to do them knowing that you will use this to your glory. And you will change us and mold us into more Christ-likeness, Father. We pray, please help us to have a vision for how these disciplines can transform us and the people around us. And Father, also pray you'll help us to strengthen one another. Help us to be the cheerleaders for each other in continuing to practice these things and then grow to be more like Jesus. Father, we thank you for the lessons you've taught us already. We thank you for the lessons you still have to teach us in the future. And we pray that that you'll give us wisdom in what we do in the next few days. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for the promises of your scriptures. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.